think I would ever make it, ever make it, ever make it. Doubted it would come to pass. Listen to the lies of the enemy. Said I'm in over my head, but God said go, go, go. Trust in my promises. I'm a man of my word. You don't have to die here. You can choose life and dream again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Adultish. I am your girl, and I am joined here by my original, my OG, like, what? My sister, Paula. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm so happy to be on your podcast.
Yes. So if some of y'all don't know, Paula and I do have another podcast outside of this podcast called The Safe Space. And we are going to be soon, we will be getting more episodes out to y'all. I feel like this is a ongoing thing that we've been saying, but we are going to be getting some episodes out to you guys on that other platform. But I'm glad that she can come on over to, you know, our neighborhood. Yes, in our little neighborhood. So this topic, it's probably one of my not so favorite topics, but favorite topics at the same time, because it really allows you to examine yourself for real. And in my earlier episode before this one, I did say that I wanted to like make this an ongoing conversation, and here it is. We're gonna keep it going. So I mentioned in the podcast earlier that we have to, especially as young adults, we have to start defining our relationships and in general. Mm-hmm. And before we define these relationships, we first have to categorize these relationships. And I said in my episode before that sometimes when, you know, people hear the word categorize a relationship, they automatically have like red flags, or it sounds bad. And for me, I feel like it's a good thing to do, because there's levels to different friendships. And sometimes we put the friend title on someone that should only be an associate. And we put the associate title to sometimes people that show and prove themselves, like they have our backs. And, you know, we have to see where, you know, and in order for us to categorize these friendships or these relationships, we have to first know who we are. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it would be negligent to place a title or to categorize people in our lives, but we don't even know who we are. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had a conversation with a young lady maybe like some years ago, and she was like in her 30s and I was probably like in my early 20s. And she said to me, "You can't teach somebody you mm-hmm. without knowing you first."
Right.
And I remember that it sounded so simple, but at the same time, it was so deep. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't teach you who I am if I don't know me.
Right.
Like, I can't. So we have to first deal with ourselves, and we have to know like what we want out of life and what we want from ourselves, even before what we want from other people. So I just wanted to have a conversation about it. And what's your thoughts on defining relationships and even categorizing relationships?
I mean, I think it's essential now that I've gotten older to absolutely mm-hmm. do that. And it's something mm-hmm. that I've heard, it's a phrase that I've heard before. And I think even you said this to me before, that everybody does not deserve access to you. And Amen. It sounds mm-hmm. so, it can sound off-putting.
Harsh.
Or rude. Yeah, it could sound mm-hmm. harsh or off-putting or rude, but in reality, it's just the truth. And right. piggybacking off of what you said, I was at a ladies' lock-in this weekend, and we watched a message from a conference, and the lady was preaching, and what she basically was talking about, one of the things was that in and of itself was identity. And mm-hmm. she basically said, you have to define who you are or know who God has defined who you are, because if not, you will let anybody else define yeah. who you are. Yeah. And when you don't, you know your identity, or you have decided that everybody will have access to you, or everybody is, you know, what you think is worth your time, then eventually you're going to allow other people to identify or give you an identity that was never supposed to be yours in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I think right. that, you know, the point that you made about categorizing people, I think it took me a long time to learn that that is a truth in my life, that I have to categorize people or not give certain people as much yeah. of me as I, you know, often would give, because, mm-hmm. you know, because of maybe what I thought, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more in a minute, but, you know, yeah. because of what I thought my self-worth was or whatever, but yes. it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And to live by that not everybody deserves access to you, and we are sacred beings mm-hmm. and we need to learn to behave as such.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so good that you said that, like how much you see in yourself and how much you value yourself, because that's mainly what our topic and conversation is leading into tonight. And before we even get into that, my best friend and I, we were talking maybe a few weeks ago, and just about life and just, you know, making moves and what our next moves are going to be. And she was saying, you know, the older I get, B, I just like, I'm not as much of a people person mm-hmm. that I thought I was, or I don't really like being around so much people. And I realized that a lot of people that I've given access to me, they weren't even really the type of friend that I really wanted, but it was just that version of me at that time. And I thought that was so powerful, because as we grow and evolve, there are different versions of us. And I mentioned this in my last episode, who you were when you were 20, you're not the same person at 28. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so, and that, like, we just had this motto for the whole year. And we said for the rest of our lives, hopefully we keep this motto up. But our slogan that we're saying this year is, I don't play about me. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. And we've just been saying it.
Yes.
We've just been saying it to ourselves this year, because what I spoke about in my last episode is that there are two different people in this world. There are the givers and there are the takers. And for me, I identified myself as a giver, because, and it doesn't necessarily mean monetary, mm-hmm. but being a giver it has so many different faces.
Right.
And the way how I gave was always emotional support. For like the longest time I can remember, I always gave emotional support. And I think that's why I would always feel so burnt out and drained. And so one thing that's the one thing that I said, that this year, I'm not playing about me. I'm not playing about who has access to me. And I'm not playing about what comes around me, because you control mm-hmm. your environment, and you also control what you allow around you. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I was also talking about, you know, enabling. Mm-hmm. and how being an enabler is just as bad as being an abuser. Mm. So you can't be mad if somebody treats you a certain way, but you're also allowing it to keep happening. Right. So, which leads me into our, you know, the point, the focus point of this discussion, is how much do you cost or how much are you? And I know it kind of sounds a little weird because it's like, well, hold up. What you mean? How much? How do you mean how much I cost? I ain't no product. I'm not no, you know, I'm not no object, but we are. We're all vessels. You know what I'm saying? We are all products. You know, we are. And, you know, I always say, the most expensive thing that you will go in or you'll see in a store, it never has a price tag on it. If you realize, mm-hmm. like you have to go to like, you got to go to the register sometimes to see like, okay, how much does this cost? And usually the most expensive thing isn't even like within arm's reach. You got to ask somebody from that store to unlock that cabinet and get it for you. And so I found it so, you know, interesting that we can take care of objects better than we even take care of ourselves. And it's just like, you have to understand how much you are before you allow people to put, like you said earlier, to put a price tag on mm-hmm. you, to put a label on you. Yeah. And so I wanted to get into that. So P, I want you to take it away. What did you think, first of all, when I first even brought that up to you?
I thought it was so appropriate for me to talk about because I, in all honesty and transparency, and I mean, maybe it's one of the reasons because you know me, you know, mm-hmm. more than a lot of people do. Maybe one of the reasons, you know, maybe why you asked me to be on this episode is because taking actions based on what I thought about myself or my worth was something that I struggled mm-hmm. with, you know, for a really long time. And the way that that was reflected in my life was in relationships. And I know we're talking about obviously yeah. friendships and,
in general.
But it shows up in so many different ways for so many different people. And with me specifically, mm-hmm. have been in relationships and
romantic relationships, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. Something that we had mentioned earlier when it comes to, you know, allowing people or giving access and getting to know you, when you don't fully, not even know, because the funny thing is a lot of times we actually know our worth. Like we say, I know mm-hmm. that I deserve more. Or I know that I deserve, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, like you quote unquote know your worth. But it's like you don't necessarily believe it because of the actions that you're taking. And right. if you don't know your worth and you don't know yourself, then you won't know what boundaries mean. You don't know what boundaries mean for other people in your life, and you don't know what boundaries mean for yourself. And so because you don't have any boundaries, you allow just about anything and just about anybody to come into your life. And the reason why a lot of times that you accept, or like a huge component that I feel like allowing or permitting things in your life that either don't serve you or are below your worth, I think it really stems from fear. And mm-hmm. something that I had to learn that I think if you don't know yourself, you don't know what your fear is. You don't know what you're afraid of. With me, I think allowing certain things or people into my life that were, you know, way below what I knew that I deserved was the fear of either being alone or the fear that I wasn't going to find something better. Or mm-hmm. and one thing that I think I actually tweeted this like a couple months ago, that one term that I was never going to use like ever in my life again was at least. Like at mm. least this person is doing this, or at least this mm. thing is like literally we say things and we don't realize the exact words that we are saying. I'm literally saying yeah. at least. Like the bare minimum that this person is doing is at least this. So then yep. I can be okay with it. But by even uttering that statement, you're already saying that you're settling for less. And I remember at a point in my life, I would say things like, oh, well, at least this person's being honest, or at least honesty is the bare minimum that you should be accepting just because somebody's being honest. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's something that I had to learn, that I think a lot of the, what stems from us accepting certain things is a fear. What is your fear? Yeah. What are you afraid of? What are you so afraid of that you are allowing certain things in your life that you know you don't deserve? Or maybe you, maybe you do think that you deserve it. Maybe you've, you know, verbally beat yourself up so much in your life, or maybe you're so used to dysfunction, or you're so used to certain things that you really have thought that this is all that I can possibly get. This is all that I can receive. And with me, I just had to learn at one point that my fear was, you know, this is the best that I can do, maybe, or I'm afraid of being alone, or I didn't want to ask for more in certain situations because I was so scared of, you know, losing that person because I did set boundaries, or losing this and that because, you know, I was requiring more. And something that I heard, I think in a podcast earlier this week, someone said that if you're trying to keep peace by avoiding disruption, then it's not really peace. All that that does is cause resentment. It causes you to resent the person. They might resent you because later on you're like, you know, requiring all these things and you never required it before. And, you know, and another point that, that I wrote down is that you, a lot of times when you are accepting certain things, you think that maybe like you're supposed to be, like you're supposed to be in this situation because you're supposed to, I don't know, help this person be a better person or all these things. But someone also said you don't have to be collateral damage in someone else's growth or in someone else's healing. And like all these little things, it has taken me so long to learn and understand because I really didn't value my own worth. And it's so sad, but like sometimes the thing is you don't have to go through as maybe as much as I went through in order to learn those lessons. But it really just stems from what do you believe about yourself and what is it exactly that you fear in order for you to take steps forward and make changes?
Yeah, that wow. Those were so good. And like while you were talking, I even took down some notes for myself because, you know, when I started this podcast, I told everybody that was going to be listening that this is a podcast where we're going to educate and where we're going to grow because we all want to be better and we all want to better ourselves. And by bettering yourself, you first have to start with yourself. And it all starts inwardly. And when you spoke about boundaries, I think that was one of the biggest things I had to encounter with myself. And I had to learn that I had to cut off access from people. And that's how I even told you about, you know, not giving people access to you. And I had to start being selfish with myself because what I was doing, the type of person that I was, and I don't know, I think you could probably relate. I don't want to speak for you though, but I feel like you can relate. The thing that, and I spoke about this a little bit in my last episode, but the thing that really, you know, made boundaries difficult for me was having the savior syndrome. And I say that, you know, I say the savior syndrome, and I say that because you always have to save someone. It's like you always have to help. You always have to, and people may feel like, oh, well, that's nice. You know, that's a nice thing to do. We don't have that much people like that in the world. And I'm going to be the one to pop the bubble and say, yes, we do. We have too much people like that in the world. That's why we're having a lot more divorces because a lot of people are marrying potential. A lot of people are marrying wounded individuals. Men and women both. We see wounded people and it's like, oh, I want to just heal. I want to make them feel better. That's not your job. You can help for some time, but one thing you have to realize, and I also mentioned this, you cannot add to the toxicity. Because sometimes when you are operating in the savior syndrome, you are also being toxic right along with that person. Because if that person, you keep giving advice, keep giving the same advice time after time, every time you there's a conversation about the same thing. And it's like, I just spoke to you about this 2 days ago. I spoke to you about this a month ago. I spoke to you about this, a year ago. And it's like, you're not making any progress. And sometimes you have to realize some people don't want to get better. Some people like to play, sorry, it sounds harsh, but some people like to be the victim. And they don't see it as being a victim. They just see it as, oh, I'm just seeing how people do me. And, you know, I'm always offended. And I'm not saying that you don't have sensitive people. You do. But there's also a point where you can you have to stop wallowing in the mud. You have to get up and stop crying. Like, and you already spoke to me, like, we've already been working on my emotions. Like, I'm not saying that it's not good to cry. You know, I'm of the school where it's like, you don't cry, you get up, you get over it, dust yourself off and move on. And that mentality is bad and good, because it's bad because it's like, you don't deal with it. So you just let it fester. But it's also good because it's like, well, I'm not dwelling on it. But you have to at least deal with it right then and there. But you don't need to stay there. And that's the problem with a lot of people that are still wounded from 50 years ago. They're still 3 years old in their mind when they were told such and such and such, when this was done to them. They're still back in what happened to them as a child, and they've never developed. And you as a friend, or you as a spouse or a significant other, you come in trying to save the day. And that's not your job. Because what I realize, and especially talking to a lot of successfully like married people that have been married for years, they have taught me that two broken people cannot come together and last. You have to first be healing. And I think I mentioned this to you a week ago. You cannot, like, two broken people can't come together. You both have to be healing from some, you both have to be in the healing process. Because when you're healing separately, you come together and you can heal together. And, you know, I had to snap myself out of the savior syndrome. And it was even a moment where God ripped a lot of those relationships and friendships from me, because I was the type of person, I'm going to ride till the wheels fall off. And I've had a bad habit with being loyal to a fault. And because I'm real big on loyalty, but I wasn't loyal to myself. So how can you be loyal to somebody, but you're not even loyal to yourself?
Yeah.
You know,
that's one of the, I think savior syndrome has like somewhat of a positive connotation, because okay, yeah, you want to help everybody, you have a good heart. But I feel like one of the downsides of savior syndrome is that because you want to help someone and you feel like it's almost your responsibility to an extent, you know, to help people heal or to even heal them or whatever, that when somehow in the healing process, when things maybe also backfire on you, you kind of still feel a responsibility to, like, you know, you kind of still put the responsibility of yourself of saying, well, you know, maybe it should have happened that way. Or like, you're always still making yourself somehow the victim in that situation, not the victim in like the way that you were just talking, but you're always putting fault on yourself somehow. Like, I didn't do something wrong because, you know, I wasn't able to help them to this extent, or my desire to help this person, it maybe backfired on me, or even I helped them so much and now, you know, they're not in my life anymore. And it's just like, one of the downfalls of savior syndrome is that in the end, you still, some, like, you've been taken away, like things have been taken from you. It's like someone took and took and took from you. And in the end, you don't have anything left for yourself that you even still somehow, even though you were the one helping, you were the one, you know, trying to help this person heal, in the end, you are still kind of left broken because you spent so much of your time trying to help somebody else that in the end, things were just being taken from you and you weren't trying to build yourself up in the process. So I think it's great, obviously, to help people. But I think when we make that our identity again, when we make that our sole purpose, you know, in someone's life or in friends, family, even especially, I know this happens a lot with family members. You want to help someone so badly,
so
badly that you end up in the end, like you're left broken. You're left with nothing. And a lot of times maybe the person, there was no change. And it's just like, okay, so I spent all that energy, all that time and doing all these things. And in the end, what am I left with? And you don't do it to gain anything. But in reality, at the same time, you're still being taken. Things are being taken from you. And in the end, what do you have?
Exactly. And it also goes back into your, like when all of that is being taken out of you, you're depleted. Mm-hmm. And when you're depleted, your value kind of goes down as a person, because it's like, first off, you don't even see yourself as that much. Because one thing I can say, like, I used to see a few girls. I was friends with one. I'm still friends with her. And there was another girl I remember growing up. It was like, oh my goodness, how are they this confident? Like, they're pretty girls, don't get me wrong, but you ain't all that. Come on. Like, girl, you ain't all that. But it was instilled in them at such a young age that they are the best thing since sliced bread, that they are a queen, that they're a princess, that they deserve the world. And it was like, it was instilled in them. And because it was instilled in them from such a young age, that's what they commanded. Mm-hmm. Walking into a room, they just commanded it. It was like there were certain people that I remember, like one of my best friends, my childhood best friends, she would, like, we would walk into a room together and I would see people get mad at her. She didn't even say anything. She didn't do anything. But people she dressed real nice. She was cute. But at the same time, it wasn't even about how she dressed or how she looked. It was her, like, it was just her being. It was her presence. And people would be so mad. And I'm like, girl, like, why are they mad? And she's just like, I have no idea, but I'm chilling. And she really would. Like, she's really chilling. And I remember saying, wow, I wish I had that much confidence. I wish I was like that. Because even if there was an imperfection or a flaw about her, or people would like roast her or whatever, she still was like sitting pretty and sitting cute at the end of the night. And she clapped back when she could. And it was just like, but you still not going to tell me nothing. I'm still it though. Like, so what you saying? And I remember, I'm like, wow, I wish I could be like that. But I was so, and I think many of us have this perception of ourselves where we're not that good, or we're not good enough to the point where, you know, we care so much about what other people think about us. And because we care so much about what people think of us, we get into the fear of rejection.
Right. Absolutely.
And I want you to kind of talk a little bit on that. Like, when did you, or you don't even have to use you, but how do you even get to the point where you care so highly what people think about you? Sometimes people that never even met you think about you, because even in social media, we're like, oh, I have to put the best picture up, or I have to put this up, because what are they going to think if I put just this type of picture? And then now it's worse because we have likes. And it's like, oh my gosh, well, 200 people liked my picture that day, but only 50 liked my picture this day. What happened? Like, was this too curly, or was this not straightened enough? Or was my nose looking too big? Was the angles off? It's crazy.
I've said this, and it's funny, someone who has a degree in social media stuff, I say social media is the best of things, but it is the worst of things. It has ruined so much of our lives in a way that, like, but not because social media in and of itself, it's just the tool that it is for comparison, the tool that it is for validation. Yeah. I think I liked a YouTube video about this like such a long time ago, that the way that a lot of times we seek our worth and validation simply through an app that can, if the makers decide to get rid of it one day, what are we going to do? Honestly, like, people are going to lose it.
MySpace is gone.
Right? So what happens if we get rid of it? But I mean, anyways, okay, that's beside the point. But that was just the point that I want people to understand. But
right.
I think it's definitely something that I have struggled with. Like, based on, you know, and like even years ago, and going back to just like relationships, even friendships, like there have been times years ago when I would post something for the sake of, I want this specific person to see it. I want this specific person to like it. And if this person doesn't see it or doesn't like it, like, I am in a mood and I'm, rest,
right,
but like I'm being, you know, 100% honest, and I can admit that I have been this petty and childish, but this person,
I think a lot of us
don't want to admit it, and that's the thing. Like, we I don't think we want to admit that we have the capability or capacity to be this childish and petty, but we all are, so yeah. I mean, whatever.
We have levels.
I've been to the point where I have been upset, you know, that somebody else, this a certain person likes somebody else's picture, like, to the point where I've taken something down, like, it's been that deep. And that stems from this feeling of, like, because we don't find validation, number one, in God, because if you really truly found validation in your relationship with God, you would not act like that. So that's number one.
Oh, and no. You wouldn't even settle for half the stuff.
It's very difficult for us to admit that our relationship with God may not be. And it's not to say that we're all human. We all have our, you know, insecurities and all these things. But to reach a point of such, like, I mean, in plain terms, either pettiness or whatever, then your relationship and your validation in God cannot be that strong if you find so much worth in something like a social media platform. So it says, number one, I feel like, about our walk with God at that given moment, and also just our own worth about how we feel about ourselves. And it just goes back to, a lot of people, I probably don't do the work enough to sit down and say, okay, these are the things that I'm feeling insecure about. These are the things, what are, you know, and something you were saying earlier that made me think about this point is, I think we're so used to, and I mean, I don't know about catch flack for this or not, and I mean, it's just the truth. Mm-hmm. I think in church culture, which is correct, but in church culture, we are so used to having to be humble and having to be, you know, like, not a woe is me type of attitude and spirit, but we are so used to kind of needing and being told to be humble that it feels uncomfortable to even think highly about ourselves. Like, in a point when you were talking about confidence, like, you know, your friend walked into a room, I feel like if certain people were to see that, they would think that this person's conceited, or if someone was that confident in themselves. But it's not about being conceited. Like, you have to get to a point in your life where you are so confident in who you are and what you bring to the table, what you bring to a relationship, what you bring to a friendship, what you bring to a job. You have to be so confident in that if someone doesn't like it, you know that you will be absolutely fine. And I feel like, because of this, you know, this mindset that, you know, the church has been, you know, and which, again, is not wrong. Yes, we have to be humble. And I'm not talking about being conceited. I'm literally just talking about being so confident in who you are and who God says that you are, that when you walk into a room, or you, you know, showcase what it is that you have or who you are, then you're just simply confident in it. And I think when my business coach told me, and I struggled so much when we were doing this in the session, where she literally asked me, what are five things that you do well? Go. And it took me forever to give her five things that I myself thought that I was good at. Like, it took me for, because I don't sit here all the time and give myself compliments. I don't sit here all the time mm-hmm. and like think about like, what do I do really, really well? What am I good at? What are the highlights of me? And she's like, I need you to sit down and start writing a brag book about yourself. Like, it's not a conceitedness mm-hmm. thing. It's something, it's a practice that I want you to get into, where you sit down and actually talk yourself up. The compliments that other people give them to yourself. And I think that is a practice that it's very difficult for us to get into. But if we're going to, you know, exuberate our, I don't even know if that's a word, but if we're going to show people and show the world our worth, we have to start getting into a place where we believe it about ourselves, but not just believe it. What do we believe about ourselves? Define it first, and then it'll be so much easier to walk in it and show the world and just be confident in it. But it's hard. Exactly. It's hard work.
It's a lot of work. And that's exactly why, you know, this as a topic, because it's such a broad, it's such a huge topic, because, you know, it's like, okay, how can I define a friendship? How can I categorize it? But you know, it starts with me. And, you know, and I said this in my last episode, you know, we're in a generation now where it's real heavy on, oh, protect your peace. And it's like, a lot of people say it, but we're not doing it though. We're not doing it, because it's like, in one breath, it's, I'm gonna protect my peace. And in the next breath, you're arguing with somebody because you allowed them to mm-hmm. trigger you. You can't control what someone else does, but you can control your reaction. And for me, I always used to think that, because growing up in New York, we're always on the defense. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like you got to defend yourself. And especially if you went to public school in New York. So you always got to come back with something, and you always got to defend yourself. But one thing I realized as I got older is I don't have to react mm-hmm. to you. And I think the best response that I learned as I got older was giving you dust. Like, I gave dust. Like, I really gave nothing. And it would get so, like, people would get even more heated, because it's like, wait, did you just not hear what you're not going to acknowledge me? No, mm-hmm. I'm not going to acknowledge you, because that's how little I think of what you're telling me. It makes mm-hmm. no sense. And, you know, sometimes I want to go back into like a little bit of the rejection mm-hmm. thing, because, you know, it took me a while to get to mm-hmm. this point. And I mentioned this a little bit in my last episode. It was, I got so comfortable being a character. Mm-hmm. And the character that I played was the clown. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong, I love to cut up. You mm-hmm. know I do. I love to make fun of people. In love, though. In love. You know, I love to do that. It's funny. Like, I love that. I play all day. But at the same time, that's not who I am 24/7. But because I made that character, and this is also going to be a future episode, is protective personalities. Mm. But I hid behind a personality that was the clown, because I was so fearful if I showed my real self that people wouldn't want me and people would reject me, because I felt like I showed my real self once and people didn't get it and people misunderstood. So it was just like, I'm a clown her and I don't really want to talk to her. And so I just made up this whole, I'm a clown 24/7. And I did things for shock value. I did things just to get people talking and like, oh my gosh, she's so funny. Oh my goodness. Oh, you see what she did? And it was just like every day if I knew I was going to be around those set of people, I had to be like, okay, now what am I going to do today that's going to make them laugh? What am I going to do today that's going to make it like shock value? What am I going to do? And I realized that it was beginning to be exhausting. It was exhausting trying to be the court jester all the time. And it just was like, it began to just get so tiring. At a point, I prayed and I asked God, I was like, because I began to gain popularity off of me just being a clown. And it was like, I prayed and I asked God, I remember in 2018, I said, take away these people. I really did. I was like, take away all of these friendships, because these friendships aren't built on their side. They probably think it's genuine, but on my side, I know I'm just acting because I was so fearful of being rejected. And in that fear, I settled. I settled for the clown. I settled for those, that caliber of friendship. Because the thing, and this is why it's so good. Like the slogan that me and my friend were saying this year, that I don't play about me. And I want everybody to start saying that about themselves for real. Like the reason why, like the important part of saying I don't play about me is, you have to protect you at all costs. You have to. And you have to be very, like, you have to see yourself as, like, a fragile, delicate, like, object.
Yeah.
Because if you hold glass the wrong way, or if you hold something the wrong way that's fragile, it'll crack and it'll break.
Yeah.
And you have to see you as that.
Yeah.
And if you take care of you, and if you make sure that you're good, your mental space is good, your peace is good, then what you require from other people, like the toxicity, oh no, I'm later, like that, you could exit to the left with that. And the thing is, you know, we get so tied up in history. And it's just like, well, you know, I'm accepting that behavior because I go back far with this person. Your best friend doesn't even have to be a person that you know for a long time. Your best friend could be somebody that you met like 2 years ago. And it's not because of the time. It's because of what they bring to you. It's because of when you are around them and when y'all having conversation, do y'all talk about people all conversation? Or do y'all talk about, yo, I want to do this. I want to start this. Hey, let's do something like that. Like, I feel like when you are a productive person and when you are at peace in your life and within yourself, you don't have any time to talk about anyone else and what anyone else is doing. Yeah.
And you have to get out of the cycle of, like you said, we kind of are so used to where we get so stuck in history. We also just have to get out of the cycle of being, of accepting, you know, of actually accepting the toxicity. I mean, even we talked about this maybe a week or two ago, that sometimes you're so used to the dysfunction that when things start going right in your life, you think something's wrong.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, we have to, and it just all goes back to the reason for why, or the things that you accepted prior, you know, why did you, and it's so funny when you were talking about your kind of defense mechanism when dealing with rejection or not wanting to be rejected was being the clown. That's why it's so important to know who you are and analyze why you act certain ways, or what is it exactly that you do in order to avoid rejection. Because your thing was you wanted to be the clown in order to avoid rejection. Me, in order to avoid rejection, what I did is just accept everything. I just accepted anything and everything because I was so scared of being rejected because if I gave you any boundaries, or if I told you, you know, this isn't okay with me, I was so scared of losing, you know, this or you or whatever it was, that I just accepted anything.
Yeah.
And all of those things, even though one might seem lighter than the other, it's all toxic because it's you being so afraid of, you know, being rejected or someone not accepting you, or whatever the case might be, that you you really spiral into who you are not. You spiral into a person who, me, shouldn't be accepting everything because I'm you know, stronger than that. You spiral into, you are a clown by nature, but you spiral into that being your persona when that's not who you truly are. You know, people weren't seeing the real you. And so everybody's so different, and everybody, you know, has different reasons for feeling rejected. Everybody has a different past. We're not saying that, you know, sometimes it's deeper. Sometimes, you know, it's bigger issues. But in the gist of it is that we have to believe who we truly are. And once we believe that, it'll make things so much easier in order for you to teach other people to believe that about you. Because sometimes you have to show people, but what are you going to show them if you don't believe it about yourself?
Exactly. Wow. This topic, like, we could go on and on because, like I said, it's such a broad, you know, discussion because there's so many pockets of, you know, how we define our relationships and how we can categorize them and protecting our peace and how much do we value ourselves. It's so much to these things. You can't just put them into a 45-minute episode or hour-long episode. But like I said, guys, I do feel very strongly to keep continuing these types of conversations and episodes because, honestly, I feel like these are the episodes like y'all really respond a lot to. And y'all respond great to my other episodes. I thank y'all for that. But I wanted to leave you guys with one thing, and Paula said that she said to, like, with her part of what rejection was for her, she accepted anything. And I want to tell you guys, like, if you accept anything, you get anything in return. And so you can't just say, like, you can't just accept anything that comes to you and don't think that every and anything is not gonna happen, you know? So be careful in who you align yourself with. Be careful with who aligns with you or who tries to align with you. You have to realize that you are the most valuable thing on this earth outside of, you know, whoever you love, but you were born into this world by yourself. If you're a twin, you were born probably a minute like behind, whatever, but you were born by yourself. Most of us, you're gonna die by yourself. I know it sounds a little morbid, but let's be real. We are not born with friends, and we're not gonna die with friends. Right. We're born by ourselves, and you have to take the time to really sit like and get comfortable in your own company. And you have to get comfortable in the silence. And sometimes in the silence, that's where a lot will be spoken to you. And I just want everybody to know that, you know, I know everyone says this a lot of times, but you are enough. Mm. You know, whoever is listening to it and has a hard time or has been having a hard time, even feeling like, oh, there's so many times I've been done wrong. Maybe it's me, or maybe I'm just, you know, not attractive, or I'm not, you know, the best person to be around or whatever. I say all the time, I think I'm a boring person because I'm a homebody. Like, I really am. Like, the biggest event for me is to go out to eat. Like, and I will be so happy with just that. Ask Paula, like, for real. I don't need much. Like, maybe a theme park. I'm fine with that. But honestly, I'm not, like, I'm so boring. And I'm okay with being a grandma. Like, I really am. And the things, and I'm not just saying that because, like, it's funny, but it took me a while to even admit that about myself because, again, the fear of rejection and, oh, I want people to hang out with me. I want people to think I'm fun. I am fun when I'm ready to be, when I feel like it. And that's all that matters. Period. But We thank you for listening, you know, to this podcast. This is our mid-season finale. We will be coming back later on in May, and I'm so excited because there's going to be more wisdom that's going to be spilled on this podcast. Paula is going to make another appearance. It's just going to be so much insight that's going to be coming. I'm so excited for the people that are going to be on in May. It's just amazing, you guys. And I thank you for even just taking the time out, Paula, to be here for this podcast, for my podcast tonight.
I can't wait to hear the rest of it. I love it. I love the things. I mean, I said this on our podcast when our last episode. I love everything you're doing with this. It's different. It's needed. It's amazing. So I can't wait to hear the rest of the episode today.
Yay! So you guys, I am releasing double episodes at the same time. So this episode will be out the same time as my last episode that I just put out. So y'all, I'm coming back to back with the mid-season finale, and I think that it's so great that we dealt with ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a great way to end this first half of season one of Adultish. So you guys, I thank you so much for listening, for tuning in, and for giving me y'all's feedback, because that means a lot. Feedback is how I even sometimes pick the topics that I'm going to talk about. So I thank you guys for being tuned in, listening, and just being a part of this journey, because we are all growing together and we all want to be better. So I love you guys. God bless you, and good night.